The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast joins you on a Monday morning. A lot going on Sunday in Milwaukee sports, and unfortunately it was not great. The Bucks took a lopsided loss in game one of their Eastern Conference semifinals with the Celtics. The Brewers lost in New York. Christian Yelich leaving the game with an injury. Everybody's kind of holding their breath coming into the week to find out how long they can expect to be without Christian Yelich. Doesn't sound super serious, but still could be something. So let's try to cheer you up a little bit on your Monday morning commute. The Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Bingo and Casino. Max your fun and rewards, earning 5x slot points Sundays in May at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Just play with your club card from 6 a.m. to 11:59 p.m. each Sunday. You can visit paysbig.com/5xpoints for details. That's the number 5, letter X points after paysbig.com for more. I'm going to be joined shortly by Todd Rosiak, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. We'll talk about this Brewers team. It overall wasn't an awesome week again. They went 2-4. Another losing week of baseball, unfortunately. They played at St. Louis, got swept against the Cardinals. Looked like a team that was maybe a little bit out of gas. They played a bunch of games in a row, not playing very well offensively or pitching-wise, and it just did not seem to work at all in St. Louis. Then they bounce back after a day off, win a couple games in New York. We see the offense come back to life a little bit. And then the third game Sunday, not quite as good in offensive performance. Also some pitching struggles that we will get to when we talk with Todd Rosiak. Once I'm done with Todd, I've got a brief conversation with Ben Gamel, outfielder, of course, for the Milwaukee Brewers. Made a great catch on Sunday. He's been filling in pretty admirably, gotten a lot of playing time. He's a guy who's sort of he's not a power guy by any means, although he did hit a home run over the weekend. He's more of a sort of toolsy defensive player, good in the outfield, has made some nice catches out there, can play all three outfield positions, and seems to be holding his own at the plate. And a guy who I was curious to talk to because his older brother Matt Gamel used to be a top prospect in the Brewers organization, so I wanted to ask him about that, about seeing his older brother get drafted and following his career a little bit, and then also some of the elements in play that brought Ben to the Brewers. He was part of an offseason trade that primarily sent the big piece going the other way was Domingo Santana, who started out very hot for the Seattle Mariners. Find this Brewers podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher. You've probably already done that, but while you're there, you might as well rate us and review us. That's huge. There still aren't many reviews. I mean, I don't want to beg, but there aren't that many people who've left a review. So if you want to be one of the few and get in my good graces, I will really appreciate it. I will appreciate it as much as possible. I can't offer you anything else, but my appreciation. Hopefully that's enough. And while you're there, you can also check out our Milwaukee Bucks podcast that I do with Matt Velasquez every week, and sign up for that one as well. Subscribe to that one. Totally free to do that, by the way. Just sign up to subscribe to it, and we'll show up on your phone every time we have a new podcast. The Milwaukee Bucks, of course, in the midst of a playoff run. They're the top seed in the East. You're going to want to hear everything Matt has to say every week. But in the meantime, let's get to Todd Rosiak. Todd, how are you this week?
I am tremendous, JR. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. The Brewers, not so much. They had a up and down week, ended up finishing 2-4, got swept in St. Louis, did get the first two against New York over the weekend before losing on Sunday. We'll talk about the big development in that game, that being Christian Yelich leaving with an injury. But the starter for that game, Gio Gonzalez, was officially acquired just a couple days ago, and is kind of a new development on the Brewers scene. They decide to offer him a $2 million, 1-year, $2 million deal with incentives. They clearly looking like a team that needs a little pitching. They go out and find a familiar face, guy who was with the team last year. What is your thought on the transaction in general? I mean, it does look like the Brewers, desperate is probably too strong a word, but the Brewers were looking for pitching and to go get a starter. It isn't Dallas Keuchel. I'm sure a lot of people still saying that name out loud, but it is somebody who you figure will be a guy that they'll rely on as a starter the rest of the year.
I like the move. You know, it's a guy who's they're familiar with. It's a guy that they like, obviously. It's a guy who pitched well for them in the short amount of time he was with the team last year. Obviously he's got a different primary catcher now. He'll have to get on the same page with him, Yasmani Grandal. But it's a low cost, low risk move for them to acquire somebody who can eat up some innings and who's experienced. And the left-handedness helps as well. So on all fronts, I would say the move made sense and probably wasn't that big a surprise. You know, time will tell, obviously, whether he is effective or gives them what they hope or what they think he can give them. You know, today was, you know, I don't know what people were expecting, I guess, coming right out of the chute, but five innings is okay. You know, just kind of get his feet wet and everything. And he tried to build off of that a little bit. So, you know, low risk, high reward type deal. And if they can get a decent year out of him and decent rest of the year out of him, and, you know, maybe kind of recapture the Wade Miley magic of what happened last year. I know it's different scenarios, different situations, but kind of the same idea. Buy low on a guy and hope he overshoots the mark and does better than expected. Then it turns out to be a good move. But I actually would disagree with you. I think they are they are in desperate straits right now as far as the pitching goes. They need a few guys to really stabilize that whole unit. We're talking starters, we're talking bullpen, everything. It's been a real crapshoot the first month or so of the season, and especially the last about 10 days.
Yeah, you mentioned that he went five innings, and again, that's not bad, but the problem with the Brewers starters is that nobody is getting past that five, maybe six inning mark. Nobody's working deep into games. Zach Davies has been the best starter, and he's not somebody who's going to last into the seventh inning for the vast majority of his starts. So the bullpen, you know, by extension, getting taxed a little bit, and seemingly still, again, the one guy you can count on is Josh Hader, and everybody else is just trying to hold it together around him. One thing, because it seems so obvious that Gonzalez is a guy that is a move they had to make, but he's going to be a starter. So theoretically, one of the five guys who started the year is not going to get his job back when everybody's healthy, when Corbin Burns is right, when Freddie Peralta comes off the injured list. I'm assuming that's the case anyway. I'm assuming Gio is going to be the thought of as a starter here for the rest of the way. Is this a sign that maybe they're going to, you know, be pretty ready to move guys down if they have to? Brandon Woodruff would be another that they could potentially move down who has options. Does it seem like somebody in that group of three is maybe not going to get their job back?
It's possible, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward. And this is just all based on powers of observation and just gut feel and everything. But I think out of the three young guys, Freddie Peralta, Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, I think the Brewers, at least right now in the short term, are probably most solidified on Woodruff. And I think that's you know, there's several reasons for that. You know, we lump him in with the young starting trio. We keep calling him the young Brewers pitchers. He is 26. And he is a little bit more experienced, obviously, than those other guys. He pitched well and in some very important games for the Brewers down the stretch last year. You know, if you want to throw the hitting thing into it too, the makeup, all that stuff. I just think that the Brewers are really high on Brandon Woodruff and are expecting more out of him here in the short term anyway. You know, obviously Freddie Peralta's had some big moments for the Brewers in the past, and I mean, man, we're coming up on basically a calendar year since he had that great debut in Colorado on Mother's Day last year. It's hard to believe, but, you know, I think Brandon Woodruff is the guy who they're really counting on. And, you know, we heard from Craig Counsell earlier this week in St. Louis, and also from Yasmani Grandal, talking about how, you know, they really feel like there's more in there for those young guys, and especially Brandon Woodruff. You know, and expect him to take big steps forward. So I don't know. I think Woodruff will remain in there, and you know, what happens moving forward. It's going to be interesting. Do they, you know, Corbin Burns, he had success in the bullpen last year. Do they all of a sudden say, hey, you know, we're so desperate in the bullpen right now. We need somebody to, you know, a decent arm and a guy who can do the job. Do we go back on our word and put him back in the bullpen again? You know, I don't see them really wavering from Peralta being a starter, but you know, there's lots of different ways they can go, and it's going to be fascinating to watch here over the next probably week to 10 days what kind of decisions are made with all that.
There's two other variables too in the starting rotation. Chase Anderson has pitched okay. He had one really good start, I would say. This last outing, he wasn't able to make it through 5 innings in a game where the Brewers had taken a pretty good early lead, but he wasn't completely ineffective, so he's still somebody that you have to consider. And then there's Jimmy Nelson, a guy that we probably could talk about on every podcast if we wanted to. His slow return from that injury that cost him all of last year. Jimmy Nelson was supposed to make his debut at AAA San Antonio on Sunday. That got pushed back because his wife gave birth to those baby twin girls who had some medical complications that we've covered in the past. So Jimmy will be on a break then while while he's with his wife, and not sure then when his first start at AAA comes, but he could theoretically maybe I'm pushing this a little bit, but I feel like by the end of May, they're probably going to be looking at Jimmy Nelson in the rotation, assuming his injury doesn't flare up again. Is that too soon? Do you think they're going to push it into even later in the summer, or does that seem like something that could be the timeline?
Well, first off, congratulations to Jimmy and his wife. They've had obviously for many aspects a very challenging road here with the pregnancy, and then also with Jimmy with the injury and such. And hopefully everything turns out great, and they're healthy and happy, and everything goes well there. That said, the Brewers have shown such patience with Jimmy Nelson, and rightfully so. I think they're gonna again. Even though there is some people would say a dire need to add a quality arm to the rotation, you've gotten to this point without him, and you've been so patient with him, and allowed him to basically go at his own pace, and health is obviously the biggest key there. I don't think there's any reason why, they're going to be putting a timeline on him right now or rushing him. And that's not what you were saying, but I just think that they're going to give him every opportunity to get his feet under him and slowly ramp up his pitch count, slowly get accustomed to pitching in games that mean something, albeit minor league games. But this is going to be the biggest challenge that he'll have faced in his comeback, as far as the adrenaline and just pitching in general. It's definitely different even than an inning or 2 innings or 3 innings in a Cactus League game in spring training. So, end of May, we're talking about a month. I would say that's probably best case scenario. I would I would maybe even err on the side of maybe mid-June. And again, there's some roster machinations that go into that too. When they officially put him on a minor league rehab, then he has 30 days from that point. But there's ways you can kind of fudge that a little bit too. So it's looking definitely like the first half he'll be back here. And the just off of what I've seen, the little clips on Twitter and what I saw in person and everything. He's getting he looks like kind of the Jimmy Nelson of old. I don't know about the velo, because we never really got any great readings on that, but he was touching 95 in the couple Cactus League appearances that he had. The Twitter videos that I saw from his most recent outings, his breaking ball looked really nasty. So if they can get him back and close to the Jimmy Nelson of 2017. I mean, what a humongous addition that would be for a rotation that could definitely use some help.
You can read about Jimmy Nelson's his family's, I guess, the medical issues, you would call them. The twins basically were sort of sharing a bloodstream, is kind of my understanding, something that can happen with identical twins. So his wife Melissa had to have surgery a while back to try to alleviate that, and the twins came early. So that's kind of a crazy situation. And like you said, congratulations to the Nelsons, and hopefully, obviously, things are smooth going forward. We talked briefly at the outset the Yelich injury that he left Sunday's game with some back tightness. Sounds like he will be out Monday for sure when the Brewers return home to start a series with the Colorado Rockies. This offense has struggled big time. I think it goes without saying at this point. And Yelich, meanwhile, who's been so consistent and so solid, the idea of not having him in this offense has got to be just freaking everybody out. I guess, let's say, it doesn't necessarily sound like Yelich will be gone for a long period of time, but let's say he is. Let's say he misses a week. What elements do you look at to say, okay, this has to absolutely go right for the Brewers to be able to overcome missing somebody like Christian Yelich in the lineup?
Well, obviously you'd need, you're going to need several guys to really step up their game and play better. And I think it's a good sign that Mike Moustakas is already swinging it really well, even with that finger, which is still broken, technically, as far as I know. That thing was nasty looking last week when I saw it the day after he took that grounder off of it. I couldn't believe it. He was able to come back as fast as he did. Obviously it would help if somebody like Jesus Aguilar started swinging it. I mean, talk about just a terrible start for him. And, Ryan Braun obviously needs to pick it up. So there's several guys, key guys, big bats in the lineup that just have not really carried their weight, their expected weight to this point. So, if you definitely ideally would like to get those guys swinging it better. And then obviously hope that the Yelich absence is going to be a short one. So we'll find out tomorrow. Hopefully we can talk to Yelich and, we'll get an update from Craig Counsell on him, and maybe it's just a day or a couple day type thing and he'll be back in there. I remember last year, right toward the start of the season, and I believe it was when they were playing Colorado. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just off the top of my head, but Yelich did go on the DL for that short stint with the oblique thing, and he turned out to be able to get back real quick from that. So who knows? The one thing I will say is that if he's out for a DL stint, even if it's 10 days, I would think that the Brewers would need to do something in the outfield. Then I don't think they'd really necessarily want to go with Ben Gamel that whole entire time, even though he's played well here recently. I think they need a little bit more depth out there. And then what are you looking at? You dip into the minor leagues, and could it be somebody like Tyrone Taylor? He's off to a great start at San Antonio, and Craig Counsell had said several times in spring training that he's a guy that he thought would make his major league debut this season. So if Yelich is out and they do put him on the DL for a short stint, maybe we do see the debut of Tyrone Taylor.
Yeah, been a long road for Taylor, formerly one of the top prospects in the organization. He has had some ups and downs, but he's on the upswing, like you said, and has gotten off to a good start this season. Corey Ray, meanwhile, has battled some injury this year and has not gotten off to a quick start. So that's another top prospect in the upper levels of the minors who could potentially play in some outfield this year for the big league team. You mentioned Jesus Aguilar. You've talked to him a couple times, I know, this year. I don't know if there's really no analysis to be had here. He's got so little right now to show for it statistically. Is it possible we're crossing into a point where you say there might be an injury, or is this just a case where pitchers have kind of figured him out a little bit? I mean, is there anything you could do to diagnose what's ailing Jesus Aguilar at the plate?
I mean, I'm not a hitting coach. I'm not an armchair psychiatrist or anything like that, but just the layman, somebody who's watched a lot of his at bats, he just looks like a defeated player right now, and you can't blame him. He just has not been able to get anything to go right at the plate. He's not swinging with authority. He doesn't look confident. He's not, not that swinging with that confident stroke that he had last year that carried him into the All-Star game and the 35 homers and 100 plus RBI. He's not driving the ball. It's just basically defensive swings up there, it looks like. So, it was interesting that Craig Counsell chose to basically sit him for a week and, kind of let him relax and reset mentally and, try to get him back on track that way and get some of the pressure off. Didn't work today, but, you've got to look at it long term, and hopefully in the next, several games or the next week, he starts showing signs of life. But, at some point you're going to need more consistent production at that position, and the way Eric Thames has been swinging it lately. And then maybe you can slide Yasmani Grandal over there like Counsell did last week in St. Louis. Maybe you're starting to look at something like that where Thames is going to get the bulk of the playing time over there. And, the fact that you're facing mostly right-handed pitching on a day in, day out basis, starting pitching, makes that decision a little bit easier. So, again, it's just going to be one of those things that bears watching. And, from the Brewers' perspective, obviously they're hoping that Aguilar can figure it out and turn it around and, get back on track. And then, they can turn their worries and their focus to other areas, because Lord knows they, you know, they've got concerns in those other areas, like we've talked about earlier. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people I think are wondering, was Jesus Aguilar a one-hit wonder, a one-year wonder? And I would say that's going a little bit too far. Obviously, he played well in his first year with the Brewers in 2017, albeit not in a featured role. He was more of guy off the bench and a guy who platooned with Thames and got at bats against tough left-handed pitching. But, you know, they certainly were counting on him coming into the season. And I definitely think that over the long haul, he'll figure it out and he'll figure out a way to be productive. But it's the Brewers, I'm sure, are thinking sooner rather than later, hoping for that anyway.
And how about Eric Thames, a guy that seemed like, I think a lot of fans left his roster spot for dead through the offseason because it seemed like Aguilar was so clearly the everyday first baseman. It wasn't clear that Thames would make this team, probably one of the last guys to have a roster spot. And here he is contributing pretty regularly and doing well here in another good April for Eric Thames in the third year of his three-year contract. So this is, once again, a first base roster decision pays dividends second year in a row. That's been interesting.
Yeah, I will, not to cut you off, we'll take the fall on this one. I was certain that the Brewers were going to trade Thames in the offseason to try to, you know, save a little bit of salary. And like you said, you know, Aguilar, you know, being penciled in as the primary first baseman and such. I didn't see that, you know, Thames coming back, but luckily for them, they did not trade him. And who knows if they actually did try. I'm sure they had conversations at some point, but, you know, that's turning out to be a pretty savvy move at this point, because, you know, if you had Jesus Aguilar and then who knows who else backing up there, then you might be in real trouble. But, you know, fortunately for them, Thames has been mostly productive in the opportunities he's gotten.
Seems like it's been a good offseason so far for David Stearns. He adds Moustakas, he adds Grandal. Both those guys have been key offensively in the decision to keep Thames paying off as well. Jeremy Jeffress is back and pitching on a pretty regular basis, but we haven't seen him in that hammer sort of either closer or setup role that we saw him in last year. His velocity has not been near what it was last year. He's topping out kind of at 92 miles per hour. Jeffress is not purely a fastball pitcher. He's able to get guys out a number of ways, so he has not, his numbers haven't struggled all that much, but he has allowed a ton of base runners. His whip is above 1.6 at this point, even though his ERA is in check. What have you seen from Jeremy Jeffress? And at some point, I got to think the team is a little, got to be a little concerned that the velocity isn't returning.
Yeah, I think it just, again, you know, just my, based on my observations, I just think it's the velo thing. You know, you can't, when you're dropping from, you know, an average of 96 down to 92 on your fastball, your margin for error, it just decreases by a great amount, obviously. And, you can't be missing, like you're not going to get away with those misses with the 96 mile an hour fastball like you are with a 92 mile an hour fastball. So he's got to be finer, and if he is not able to hit his spots, he gets hit hard, and I think that's what we're seeing to this point. So it's been a very curious you know, path to this point for him, you know, throwing the three pitches in spring training and having to spend basically a little over a month building his shoulder strength back up, you know, to get back on the mound in games and so forth. So, you know, he's obviously a one of that three-headed monster, the electric dudes that we were all talking about early in spring training, while the Brewers lose Corey Knebel for the year to the Tommy John, and to not have Jeremy Jeffress pitching even close to that level that he was last year when he was an all-star. That's a big blow to suffer. And as a result, you've got Josh Hader at the back end, who's been lights out for the most part, and then really a group of guys who have been alternating between pitching okay and struggling mightily. They just don't have that, really, that second guy. Maybe you could classify Junior Guerra as that solid second guy. You know, who would have predicted that coming into the season? But, you know, really, aside from those two, it's just kind of been a crapshoot in, you know, what happens night to night. So, you know, to be able to try to get him back on track and get him pitching even close, Jeffress, to what he did last year would be gigantic for these guys.
The Brewers have had up and down results from Alex Claudio. He's a guy in the bullpen who's been good sometimes and just pretty much off on other times. Alex Wilson seems to have really struggled. I looked at his game log and it wasn't as bad as maybe I recollected, but it seems like he's been beaten up quite a bit, and he's still a guy kind of settling in. I mean, he joined this team late. Just before the season started, he was kind of the Dan Jennings guy from last year who arrived at the last second, but it just does not seem like they can find anything that works consistently in the bullpen. And I guess that's true of every team. I suppose if I look at the numbers, the Brewers bullpen is probably middle of the pack, but I don't know. Do you see this as something where they're going to start looking at making moves, or is the bullpen, enough of holding its own enough that it's not an area of concern?
I'm sure the Brewers are looking at their options and trying to see what else is out there or whatever, but there are, I'm sure, other teams that are kind of in the same boat and they're looking at those same things. And I would say that it's probably too early to panic at this point, but then again, at what stage do you press the panic button and start looking at making moves? So, bullpens by nature are very cyclical. They can be up one year and down the next, and that's generally how they go. And we're seeing the downside, obviously, this year. Craig Counsell did rightly note in spring training that last year the Brewers' bullpen was actually really good early when Corey Knebel went down, and then was kind of up and down from that point until the end. So, maybe we'll see an upswing here. Maybe a couple guys will start, clicking and pitching well at the same time, and that would be huge for these guys. Maybe a guy like Jacob Barnes figures it out. He had pitched well. He had that tough first outing for the season, and then threw up seven or eight straight scoreless appearances until that blow up last week in St. Louis. Maybe a guy like him. Maybe he can start pitching more consistently. Sometimes it all takes is one or two more guys to get on track and everybody kind of falls in line. So we'll see, but certainly things aren't going to be getting any easier here with Colorado coming in. They've obviously got Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story, who hits like 11,900 at Miller Park against the Brewers. So, there's going to be challenges here coming up as well. And it's never too early to get guys on track and get back on track.
Before I let you go, Ben Gammel, you did a Q&A with him at jsonline.com this past week. I also have a short interview with him coming up here next. What's your impression of the job Gammel has done so far?
I think he's done well. He obviously he had a little bit of a tough time today, misplaying the outfield. But for what they've asked him to do, which is be that fourth outfielder, spell Ryan Braun, left-handed bat. He's shown a little bit of pop. He can run. He makes, he's good defensively. He's got a good throwing arm. I think he's exactly what they were expecting and what they were hoping when they made that trade. Now, who would have thought, obviously, that Domingo Santana would get off to the start that he has in Seattle? Everybody there is playing well so far. It's been a great story so far in baseball. But, Gamble, I think, has pretty much been as advertised. And if he can continue doing what he's been doing for the rest of the season, I'm pretty sure the Brewers would be happy with that. Pretty low-key guy in the clubhouse. He found that out as well. Nice guy, not a lot to say. I would say he's kind of like his brother in that respect, Matt Gammel, but an interesting guy nonetheless. So I think he's fit in well and has been a nice addition to the team this year.
He is Todd Rosiak, Milwaukee Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find everything he has to say at jsonline.com. He will be at home watching the Brewers again, opening up this series with the Colorado Rockies starting on Monday. Thank you, Todd. We will talk to you again very soon.
All right, JR, take it easy.
Thank you to Todd for joining us. Now let's move to my brief conversation with Ben Gammel, outfielder, who has filled in pretty admirably for pretty much everybody here or there. Ryan Braun's needed, of course, a few days off, as has been the game plan with him to try to keep him as healthy as possible. We've seen now we've seen Christian Yelich, who will miss Monday's game, and I'm sure Ben Gamel will be in the lineup there. And he's taken Lorenzo Cain's place a couple times this season in center field. Made a nice catch on Sunday, holding his own on offense, and has been an interesting new member of the Milwaukee Brewers this year. In fact, you can read a Q&A that Todd did with Ben Gamel last week at jsonline.com. If you would prefer to learn a little bit more about him, that's a little bit longer conversation than what I had here, but here's 5 minutes with Ben Gamel. My guest is Ben Gamel, outfielder for the Milwaukee Brewers. Ben, people noticed your pregame ritual a couple days ago of using your spikes to open up a Red Bull, and now Brewers minor leaguers are doing it too. How would you feel if this became a Ben Gamel challenge? You think this is going to become a thing?
I hope not. No, it kind of started back in AAA. Me and Dan Vogelbach used to do it before games. And decided to bust it back out to get the boys going. So yeah.
A lot of people know your brother, Matt. He was drafted by the Brewers. I think he'd have been in middle school when he was drafted. I'm not sure I've got the timeline right. What do you remember about that time and what it was like to see your Brewers, or, you know, see your brother get taken by the Brewers?
Oh, man, it was awesome. Awesome. You know, you see how, you know, you're working for... You know, you're working to make, you know, a dream into a reality, and, you know, watching him do that was, you know, was incredible.
Yeah. I'm assuming you were into baseball at that point, so did you set a goal to get drafted higher than him or anything like that?
No, you know, it's never, you know, been like a huge competition baseball-wise with
sure.
us, you know, but, no, I mean, seeing him go through it, you know, it kind of made it a realistic goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it gave me something to work for and strive for.
When you made your big league debut, you made your big league, I think, in 2016.
Yeah.
But this is your first opening day here in 2019. Was that special for you in any way? I mean, you've been a big leaguer now for a couple of years at that point, but just to be here, break camp, be here at the start of the year, was that, you know, any different than other years?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, your first opening day is a memorable one. I was, unfortunately, last year I had an oblique issue, so I, you know, I was with the team for opening day, but I didn't, you know, get a play or anything like that. But no, man, it's awesome. Awesome. It was a dream come true.
How is playing center field here compared to other parks?
You gotta get used to the lights here. It's
yeah.
the only difference. You know, you can lose balls in these lights here, but, you know, it's center field. It's center field everywhere.
Yeah. You have obviously the long hair and the beard. Is that something you've always had? Is that a newer development or?
I've had it in the last few years, but yeah, I was went to Catholic school my whole life, and, you know, I was drafted by New York, so, you know, they've always had a strict policy that everyone follows. So, you know, it was the first time I really could kind of grow it out and get a beard going and stuff like that. So.
One of your former minor league teammates, Aaron Judge, was Rookie of the Year that you were a rookie as well. What you played with a lot of those Yankees, right? A lot of that, like, new wave of talent.
No, I came up with all those guys. You know, Gary. Aaron Bird, you know, Mason Williams, you know, there's, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, just, you know, kind of speaks volumes to that organization, you know, the way that they run things.
Yeah. Edgar Martinez, my understanding is a guy that's worked with you a lot. He's, you know, now in the Baseball Hall of Fame. What did it mean to you to see that go in? Well, I guess what role did he play in your career, and then seeing him get inducted?
Edgar is huge. You know, Edgar, a lot of people don't know this, but he's, you know, very educated on the mental side of the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, really studies the brain, and, you know, he's very knowledgeable when it comes to that stuff. And, you know, so he's huge to have, you know, putting together a game plan, or, you know, just the mental struggles that go in and out of the season. So, you know, just I got nothing but good things to say on Gar.
Have you been – he kind of came close to not getting in. Have you sort of followed the plight of him as he's gotten more and more votes every year?
No, it's kind of been a running thing in Seattle. So,
sure.
You obviously follow it, especially with him being in the clubhouse with us every day.
Yeah,
but, you know, definitely thrilled for him.
I'm assuming since you'd moved organizations before, coming to Milwaukee wasn't that jarring for you. Was there anything different about this trade, or is it a little easier since you've been through it before?
You know, it's never easy.
Right.
You know, you build relationships, and, you know, and then, you know, it's not like you lose relationships, but, you know, you don't see the same guys every day. You know, it's different. But like I said, you know, the guys here in this clubhouse have, you know, welcomed me with open arms and made everything super comfortable for me. So, you know, I can't applaud these guys enough.
That's what we have for you today. Once again, find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Rate us, review us. Find the Bucks podcast as well. My weekly chat with Matt Velasquez. Lots of cool stuff that we could talk about there. And hopefully you found everything that we had to say at jsonline.com. Lots of fun content. Packers draft obviously just wrapped up, so there's a lot to talk about with the draft this week. There's plenty of Brewers. There's plenty of Bucks. All that stuff is, you know, perfectly available for you at jsonline.com. And if you hit that paywall, definitely want to subscribe. It's very, very reasonable to get a subscription to the Journal Sentinel and get all that great sports content throughout the remainder of the regular throughout the remainder of the playoffs for the basketball season, and of course the regular season, the baseball season. Still got 5 months. I know it's a little bit frustrating to see the Brewers hovering around 500 at this point after getting out to an 8-2 start, but 5 months of baseball, all kinds of great baseball teams have months, several months actually in the season where they are at 500 or slightly better. So the Brewers can still come out way ahead on this, and no need to panic, obviously, after the first sixth of the season is gone by. Light Up May with 5-time slot points Sundays at Pottawatomie. Just play with your club card each Sunday. Maximize your rewards. Visit paysbig.com/5xpoints for more. That's the number 5, letter X points for more information. Thanks for joining us again. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. For Todd Rosiak, Ben Gamel, we will catch you again next week. Take care.